Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday, 27th of July, which is the 17th Sunday in ordinary time. So I'm on the right page? Yes?
Yes, on the right page.
Thanks be to God. Welcome to you wherever you are listening, and perhaps listening as you sit to prepare for the Sunday, or as you exercise, or as you count sheep trying to go to sleep, or wherever you are listening. And in many different parts of the world, we know there are people who follow the homily studio. So you are welcome. Welcome to this conversation. Who do we have in the chat this morning?
Well, we have Kushla O'Connor. My name is Kushla O'Connor, and I am the religious education advisor in the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch. Sometimes I do some lecturing for Te Kupinga as well. It's lovely to be here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kate Cairns, and I'm a business academic. Living in Auckland, and I confess to not having listened to the homily studio for last Sunday and feeling that I was less prepared and that I'd missed out. So yeah, it is a good way for me at least to prepare for the Sunday readings ahead.
Yeah, as we were talking about that actually, Kate, in the office this morning with my colleagues, and they all listened to it and they said exactly that. They said when you get there and you're hearing it on the Sunday, they feel so much more prepared. So it's a great gift you're bringing to people, John.
Look, it's great. The response is great from so many people in different places. And there was a little period there of a couple of months, a few months ago, where we didn't have homily studios. We were sort of recalibrating and deciding where to from here. But the number of emails we got from people saying, look, where is it? What's happened? Have you disconnected us? How come we're not receiving these? So it's a wonderful ministry to be part of. Let's take a few moments to be aware that we are in the presence of God. This week, currently, I'm leading a retreat, and we have begun each of the sessions with the prayer, let us remember we are in the holy presence of God. Whatever joys, hopes, griefs, anxieties you are carrying for your souls and for those you love, this is our place of encounter, meeting with Jesus. As we pray in the entrance antiphon for this 17th Sunday in ordinary time, God is in his holy place. God unites those who dwell in his house. God himself gives might and strength to his people. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I probably want to say as well, because I'm really enjoying this feast, is that we're recording on the Tuesday before the Sunday, which is the Feast of Mary Magdalene.
And great post on Food for Faith. I really enjoyed reading that today, John.
Well, look, that's thanks to Kath Rushton, Sister of Mercy, who has done some powerful research into Mary Magdalene, who, of course, didn't have a full feast day in the church until 2016, thanks to Pope Francis. But the Magdala, we think Magdala was the place that Mary was from, seems to be Jesus' nickname for her as the Tower. You know, Jesus gave Simon the name the Rock. Mary was the Tower. That's the Magdala. So powerful feast day.
I'll say. Yeah, it was a really insightful post. I learned heaps.
Wonderful. So these scriptures, where are we going to begin?
I think we'd have to say they were about prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, the focus really is on prayer, and even there's a fairly strong hint, particularly through the gospel, but it's present in the, I guess, in the first reading, around persistent prayer and being persistent. We have Abraham being fairly persistent in his asking of the Lord about sweeping innocent away with guilty, and how would you, in the first reading from Genesis, would you sweep away the innocent, the guilty? Would you do it for, 50 innocent people? Would you sweep them away? They kept going and going and going,
yeah.
Right down until, would you do it for 10?
It's sort of like there's a lovely atmosphere of a game there, isn't there, between
Yes.
Abraham and God. What about if there's only, what about this number? It really does highlight the intimacy and the relationship between Abraham and God.
I thought that too, Kate, in relation to, it's all about prayer. Sometimes when I'm praying, I feel like a recidivist nagger. I'm just coming back at the same things all the time. But having read both the Genesis reading and reflected on the psalm too, when I called you answered me, you built up my strength within me. And then going on to the gospel, I thought, you're not a recidivist nagger Kushler. You're just persistent in prayer and don't give up. Never give up. Like, Winston Churchill said, never give up.
And you see, that point, Kushla, is very powerfully reinforced in this gospel reading, which is not just Jesus giving them the Lord's Prayer, which we'll say more about in a minute, but the persistence is highlighted in this the word ask. Ask and it will be given to you. But I remember just not too long ago, just a few years ago, noticing for the first time that the word ask is in itself a mnemonic. Like to ask, search, knock, ASK, like ask, search, and knock. And I think, what was your term, question? A recidivist nagger.
That's what I feel like
As
at times.
opposed to a persistent prayer.
Well, no, now I can see myself, Kate, as a persistent prayer. But sometimes when you're just, you're praying about something that's really personal to you, or it could be a family member or a friend that's in trouble, and you're coming back to God all the time and chatting away, trying to listen as much as I can. But sometimes I do feel like that I'm continuously nagging, oh, come on, God, please. Whereas having read these readings, I feel a little bit more comfortable about that being able to, I can keep going back and don't give up, because not only am I, well, this is what I take from it, not only am I persistently asking for God's blessing, but in doing that, it's like any conversation. The more you talk with somebody, the greater that relationship grows. And so I feel that sense of growing in relationship with God through prayer.
And it takes a great degree of intimacy in any human relationship to be able to ask the person for something.
Yeah,
It's actually quite easy for most of us to give something or to offer help even when it's not wanted. But to ask someone to help me, to search in their direction, to knock at their door, you can only do with people who you know well, but also you understand their ability to respond to the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. By asking God for what we believe God can give, that's an extraordinary compliment to God. Because I don't ask just anyone to work these miracles. I ask God. Why? Because God's not just another human helper. God is God who has the ability to work and the willingness, the desire to work miracles in my life.
Mean, we can go into this idea of having this higher power, superpower, if you like. But do you think it works the other way? When you're in relationship, an intimate relationship with God, you hardly need to ask because and he, she knows what's at stake here and what you want and what you need.
Yeah, that's right. Before you even start the persistent praying, God knows what you need. I had a lovely when I was growing up, I went to a little Catholic school in a place called Fairlie in the Mackenzie country, and I had this little nun, and her name was Sister Carmina. And I can remember saying to her, probably as a I don't know, 6 or 7 year old, I pray to God, and God doesn't answer my prayers, And she said, "Oh yes, he does, Kushla, but sometimes he says no." And now, Honestly, I can hear myself saying that to other people. Sometimes we persist and we ask, and God is answering our prayers, but not in the way that we want them answered.
Have you had the experience later, years later, of remembering a prayer that you prayed that you feel wasn't answered and being very grateful that it wasn't answered as you prayed it? Because often, if I prayed that something would happen then or back there, or this person would do or not do that back then, and I felt as though that prayer wasn't answered, but something better happened, a different pathway opened up. So the answer, no. That we might experience as a no is actually,
There's a better way. There's a
maybe
better
there's a better
way.
way that we're not aware of and God's offering us.
I'm sure that has happened, but I can't. It'll probably come to me later in the session. But I
I'm
just
trying to
regardless.
give an example, and it's almost an example against myself, and I'm a little bit loath to tell it so publicly, but I will.
Now you've got us all curious,
Yeah,
Kate.
I
Really,
will have to
really
tell
keen to
you,
hear this.
and hope that the people listening will be just great with what I'm about to say. And that is, in the 5 years since my husband died, and I was starting to think about having somebody new in my life, and I was sort of, talking to my friends about who they might know, and anyway, then I started to make slightly bigger efforts in that direction. But at one point, I thought, oh goodness, God, this is it's about time. And you could make this happen. And I hadn't thought of asking God for anything like this, and then bingo, right? But it wasn't quite the designer man that I had, rigged up in my mind. Possibly somebody far better for me in many ways. But, if I could give this
Possibly, you
quick
said.
example, not the man who wears the gorgeous clothes and drives the gorgeous car and
Yeah.
does all of those things, but the kindest, most lovely person who, is walking through with me on a path that neither of us would have expected to walk. So,
Oh,
I feel
isn't that great?
there's a
Yeah.
prayer being
Yeah.
answered, but it wasn't answered in the way I expected. Yeah.
How
Can we go
lovely.
to the
Thank you for sharing.
Lord's Prayer, which is given to us in this 11th chapter of Luke?
Yeah.
Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said to them, "Say this when you pray." And then we get the prayer, which is, I'm sure, without a doubt, the best known prayer in human history.
It is.
And can we get, hallowed be your name. So, let's admit who we're dealing with here.
Yep.
In this trust and trusting an intimate relationship. And then the next bit, your kingdom come. Not my designs and desires, but your kingdom come. And I think that's really sets the scene for why you might get the occasional no, or why things are not always to our own design or desires. We don't always know what's best for us.
Okay, my husband, he's a lovely man, and he sometimes, I pray this prayer all the time. I'm a great rosary prayer. I love the rosary and I love the Lord's Prayer, and then sometimes I might be praying, persistently praying, recidivist nagger, whatever I want to call myself, and he will say, and I'll say, and I've been praying about this, and da da da, and he says, what's that prayer, Kushla? Thy will be done. He said, it's God's will, not yours. That's what you have to remember. And I feel like it's saying something really unkind back, but then it pulls me up and I know he's right. It is God's will. And I just have to be ready to respond to that, whatever the answer is that I'm given.
I'm always grateful in the next line of the prayer for how much daily bread I do get. I think I sometimes think I can skip over that line because I get rather a lot of daily bread. But thinking of those that don't, and the need to share the daily bread that I do get.
I think it's probably important to note that there are a couple of versions of this in the different gospels, like Matthew and Luke have slightly different versions of the exact
We're looking at Luke.
Luke, yeah, we've got the Luke one today. I think it's probably important as a note for a preacher not to focus on the differences between the different evangelists' recordings of the Lord's Prayer, but the remarkable similarities between them. And to go to the heart of the prayer and the beauty of the prayer, rather than trying to explain to people in a brief homily the differences and what or why or what each evangelist is trying to say, I think in a way that would be a distraction for people who would miss the point. But one of the things I do like is that we return to what we were talking about before, Kushla, what you were saying before, is that this, and then your term is going to stick with me, the persistent nagging, but the Jesus encouragement of that, yes, nag, yes, be persistent, yes, ask.
Well, I have to say that having focused on the Genesis reading, the Abraham and then reading the Psalm over a couple of times and then going to the Gospel, I felt relieved. I thought, no, I'm okay at this. Kate put it better by saying persistent praying, but I mean, I was thinking of myself as this sort of a snagger, but there's a wonderful, well, it's a wonderful resource on the Lord's Prayer, I think, and we use it with our teachers in schools. But it's a book called The Lord's Prayer for Everyone by Father James Lyons. And he takes the Our Father and situates it in different contexts for different people, different occupations, and different things that are happening for people. And I really like going to that. And that's a bit like this, the different contexts here of, Matthew up the mountain. That's where the prayer was spoken by Jesus. And that my colleague was telling me that, and Luke's down the mountain, and he was saying, why is that? What's the reason for that? I don't know. But like you say, let's not concentrate on the differences, but the key message within it.
Can I just add in there, just for clarification, Kushti, you mentioned James. So James Lyons is a priest of the Archdiocese of Wellington, who has written some wonderful stuff, particularly in recent years. So I'll put a link to that. Can you send
Do, because
to
I really enjoy that, and I sometimes I pull this out and just flick to a particular thing because he's got the theme, and it's really each he breaks open each little petition for the particular person.
And I hope I'm not revealing anything here, but he is working on another book at the moment. So I just a little heads up, watch the space. We'll certainly make sure we promote it here on Food for Faith.
I think we shouldn't perhaps jump quite so quickly in case we are about to from the Our Father, because
Please.
that lovely little piece around forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, or trespasses version of that, forgive us our trespasses. That equity in treatment and balance in the way of thinking, I think is really quite key to living a good life. Don't expect to be forgiven if you're not about to be a forgiving person yourself.
You see, in a way, Kate, what it's doing is it's very empowering in a tragic, potentially, way, because it gives me the power over how much forgiveness I receive. So if I'm unable or refusing or stubborn in forgiving another, I've actually reduced my capacity to receive the love, the forgiveness that God is offering me or that others are offering me. So,
I carry that bitterness that's actually corrosive.
It is.
can I make just a mention too, without moving on from the Our Father, because we can stay with that, of the comparison that Jesus makes. What father, what parent among you would hand his child a stone when asked for bread? Yourself and I think that some people carry a fear about what God might be like. You know, the judge who's trying to catch me out is a you know might be a there might be a remnant of that in people thinking about God. But you, how would you treat your child or grandchild who is behaving in ways that you don't think are very good? Like if they came back to you and said sorry, or if they said, look, I really think this is what I need to do. You continue to be loving. So if you are like that, how much more is God going to be like that?
I know that's a really powerful thing to take a concept to take away from the whole reading that it's not so much about the receiving, it's about that relationship. And if you're whatever you give, God's going to give so much more back to you. God just is continuously giving. Maybe not in the ways that we initially think.
It's a lovely story because the friend, to whom he goes is at midnight. And I think that's one of the darker hours in most places, almost everywhere, isn't it? And it's often, midnight to 3 a.m. is that time where people are doing sometimes some angsting and things. And it may be when they should be doing the asking, the seeking, and the knocking.
Even we're drawing to a close here, but this Colossians reading, the second reading today, I love the way that all the way through this scripture, as in the others, the protagonist is Christ. Like, you have been buried with Christ. So I'm not the protagonist in this. I didn't bury myself. But in baptism, we were buried with Christ. And we have been raised. Like, we have been raised. We didn't raise ourselves. And often we make ourselves the chief protagonist in our life's project by I try to do this and I try to experience this and I try to pray more and I try to it, but it's all about me. But the protagonist is Christ. And often we need to come to him as the pleading child or the persistent one saying, Lord, I don't even know what I need, but do it for me. I don't even know how I'm going to forgive that other person so I can experience your forgiveness. You've got to do the forgiveness in me. There's a lovely part of the AA recovery program about forgiveness, and it says that the guaranteed way to forgive someone else isn't to try hard to forgive them, it's to pray for them. And to pray honestly. So it might be that on day one, I pray, Lord, I don't know why you even created that person. If they get run over by a bus, I'm okay with that through Christ in me. Amen. That might be the prayer on day one, but you won't be able to pray that on day two. Something will shift on day two. And by day three or four, like forgiveness is overtaking us, an ability to forgive, which is not our doing. And I think that's the problem we have. Most of us don't pray for those we don't want to forgive. So we don't even give the process a chance. Like we just are happy. I just want to hold on to my hate. I want to hold on to my anger. And they are the one who needs to do the forgiving. But my inability to forgive another probably doesn't affect the life of that other at all. But it makes one hell of a difference to my own
Yeah, that's fine.
myself. So why wouldn't I desire to forgive? But again, the forgiveness is not, what's that? To err is human, to forgive is, it's a divine gift. But turn to him saying, Lord, I don't even want to forgive this person, but I want to experience your forgiveness. So whatever you need to do, Lord, do it. If I catch you at it, I'll probably stop the process. So you have to be really discreet, be subtle. And just bring about the healing you need in me so that I can forgive. So, what are the take homes?
I think my take home from that is that I'm just going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking with hope, actually, in my prayer life, and I'm going to keep knocking with faith, and I'm going to seek out the other in love. That I think that's what I take from this whole thing. I'm just going to keep being a persistent prayer.
And for me, it's about prayer and forgiveness as a part of staying spiritually alive.
Right. I think just a couple of very brief things. One is I would encourage people to read the first reading expecting a humorous story. So read it with a humor at this kind of intimacy, Abraham bargaining with God as an example of intimate prayer. And the second point, I'm going to return to it, I said it right at the beginning, is this mnemonic ask. And I think if people went home from Eucharist this weekend with that sense of, ask, seek, knock, ask, search, knock, ASK, is a way of remembering, yes, asking is important. It's an acknowledgement that God is God. Seeking, yes, seek God wherever God is found. Knock, yep, knock, knock, knock at that. The song's coming to mind, Kushra, is yes,
Heaven's
knock,
door.
knock, knock at heaven's door.
Yeah. We
Okay.
could write a song about that, John.
I think we'd be doing well to beat the one that's already written.
Think so. I'm going to remember that ask. I think that's great. Ask, seek, search, knock.
Won't be original, John. I've heard John Fitzmaurice, Father John Fitzmaurice, doing a wonderful Ask ASK sermon. Yeah,
Oh,
he might.
so without my
And I'm
memory.
sure lots of people have done them, but I don't remember every sermon, but it's one I do, so I think it's a good trick. It's a good
Yeah,
trick. It's a good
indeed. And
trick
I'm sure
too.
I suspect I probably got it from John many years ago. And it's the ultimate
Compliment.
compliment, isn't it? To
That's
quote
right.
someone
The ultimate
about,
compliment is to copy.
yeah, is to copy without acknowledging. Yeah. So if John gave me that, then I'm grateful to him because it certainly stuck with me. Let's be aware that we are in the loving presence of God, every one of us. And everyone we love are being held in the loving embrace of God in every moment. And let's draw our reflections together in the collect, the opening prayer of this 17th Sunday. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us and grant that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.